Father, I think I'd like to pray for your will to be done today in us. I'd like to ask you for your word to penetrate and transform our hearts. Lord, you know how much we need you. I thank you that you never force yourself on us. You never force your word and your ways on us. But today, Lord, will you intervene? Will you break through? Will you peel off any callous parts of us and find good soil? We thank you for this time when we can hear your word together as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's do the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Quick review, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, we talked about our Father, we talked about the closeness of God, we talked about the God who is in heaven, and we said it's really not about location, it is about his vocation, that it's really about his kingship, right? And then we went into hallowed be your name, that we are to live lives that help people realize that God's name should be revered and regarded as holy. Can I get an amen? And then we talked about his kingdom come, and we talked about what we describe, what is the actual definition, or how do we conceptualize what kingdom actually is. And we talked about what Dallas Willard said when he said, the kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will, where what God wants done is done. So we talked about how when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are actually petitioning God and saying, will you get what you want? We hope you get what you like, and we want to participate in making sure you get what you believe is right for all of us. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then now we are here today with that phrase, your will be done. Now, in I think next week, obviously, on earth as it is heaven, we will talk about where we want his will to be done, where we want his kingdom to come. But today, we're not talking about location. Now we're talking about our vocation. Who is God using to get his will into the earth as it is in heaven? So our petition today, when we say, Lord, your will be done, we are actually saying, God, use me. Let me say it again. When we say, let your will be done, we are saying, first and foremost, let it happen in me, and then let it happen through me. It's like driving by an accident scene and us saying, Lord, I hope you get what you want out of that, and we just drive by. No, when we pray this heavy prayer, we are saying, what is it that you want in this situation? Most likely, you will want to exercise your will through me, meaning I would most likely have to stop my car and engage in this horrible incident. Does this make sense? Can I get an amen? So this prayer, this sentence here, this phrase is actually a very binding phrase. It makes you commit to the Lord's purpose and agenda. It reminds you of who you are. So, what are we imagining when we say your will be done and please use me? This is what we're saying. We're saying, come into these rooms in my heart and mind and rearrange anything and everything in me. First, work in me. When we say your will be done, we're saying, God, be like an interior decorator. Come into my heart and rearrange anything and everything you want. This is a dangerous prayer. I have an older brother. I don't know if you guys know this. I have an older brother who's about 4 years older. And for some reason, he thinks that everything that I own is his. Right? So when he comes over our house, the first time my wife saw this, she thought it was weird. But first time he came over our house when we lived together, without us asking him or giving him permission, he started rearranging the house. Isn't that odd? Isn't that really odd? It's such a Korean older brother thing to do, right? And my wife started saying, what's going on? Did you ask him to rearrange? And he's going around literally rearranging the house. The TV should be over here, the couch. And I was like, what are you doing, big brother? And he's saying, this is how I like it. And I'm like, we don't like you in this house doing this. Obviously, my big brother had to learn about boundaries, right, and personal space. And even his wife was like, what are you doing, right? And eventually, this actually took years, guys. Eventually, he began to slow down and not touch things. But for some reason, he will come in and want to rearrange things. I want to tell you something. Jesus is your big brother going, these things should not be in this space. And it bothers us. Because we think the house is ours. So we go, you know. Jesus, don't do that. Or, this is what many of us do. We say, your will be done only here. Or only here. Wherever I can manage you. Wherever I can see that I'm okay with what you're doing, you can decorate however you want. I have a confession, and I think you can relate. As I get older, I realize how controlling I am. If you don't know how controlling you are, just have kids. As my kids get older, the more angry I am. And the reason being is because they have opinions. Like, Dad, I want to put this poster up on the wall. And I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of loving dad. I just go, that's ugly. Don't do that to our wall. No, Dad, I mean, like my son wanted to put up a poster of Stranger Things. You know the show Stranger Things? And he put it up as if it was the Mona Lisa, guys. It was like, don't touch this. Dad, look in my room. And I was sitting there going like, you are ruining the aesthetics of this house. And I realized this is how I am in all of life. I think I know what belongs on these walls. So when we first pray, your will be done, we are actually saying, what would you like to do in me? The second thing we're asking or petitioning when we say your will be done is we're inviting Jesus to have a say in and about everything in every situation. Basically, what we're saying is, don't just work in me, speak to me. Don't just work in me, speak to me, and work through me the way you would want any situation that I'm involved with to be. Here's another way of saying it. Jesus, you have a say in this. That's what it means to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not just take things out that you don't like in me, not just put things in me that you want in me, and not just rearrange things, but what would you say to this situation? That's what this prayer is. This is crazy prayer, guys. Because you know why? Most of us do not give anyone a say. Man, God, I'm telling you. It's like, imagine this. Imagine this. This is literally what Christian life is. Jesus, if you had a say, what would you say to this situation? Like, for instance, say you're about to quit a job. Say I have another offer downtown that's better. And you're like, it's so rational. It's so reasonable for me to take that job. It's just better for my family. And then we usually go, that is the will of God. Right? Your will be done screws everything up. Because your will be done goes, but you have a say. What would you say? What would you like to say? And then we wait on the Lord. Guys, this is the biggest cuss word in our culture. Wait. Wait. How dare you say that to me? It's obviously the Lord. More money, right? More prestige. I'm just giving you an easy example. More this and this and this and that. And then you ask the question, have you prayed? Did you ask God what he has to say to this? What if in your prayer you find out, I'm not quite done doing what I want to do in you in this horrible job? Lord, why would you put me in a horrible job? I hate my boss. I hate this system. I hate this organization. It sucks. Right? Are you the kind of God that would form Christ in me in horrible situations? And then God would say, have you ever read Joseph's story? Now, mind you, I'm not saying now the worst decision is God's decision. I don't want you to be like, what is the most painful thing in this situation? It's probably God. God is always trying to kill me. No, but in your spirit, as you pray, your will be done more and more and more, you will actually get in tune with what he's trying to say to you. Because the first thing he's always trying to do is trying to form Christ in you. He's trying to make you look like his son. He's not as interested in where you're headed. He's more interested in who you're becoming. Do you understand me? Can I get an amen? Nixon, can I get an amen? Amen. Thanks, brother. So, give me one word, PB. This is too hard. Give me a word that helps me understand your will be done. And here's the word that we all actually really hate. And that word is submission. Submission. Get thee behind me. Submission. We hate that word. We hate this word. What does it mean? What does this word mean? Well, submission means that we give up our rationale. We give up, I know this sounds terrible. We give up or we yield our rights, right? And we give up our resources, knowing that he is probably right. We don't like it, right? Okay, PB, I need you to explain this further. All right, so let's go to the definition of submission. Okay. And you've heard me say this before. You've heard me say submission, one definition that I always like to give is submission is giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so when you guys hear me say things like submit to your wives or submit to your husbands, I'm not saying be subservient. I'm not saying be their slave. I'm saying what would life be like if you actually gave them the benefit of the doubt that this person is good, that this person is smart. Okay, so that's the first definition. But the second definition that I want to give today to this word submission is this. Yielding your rights, resources, and rationale to someone you think is and has proven over and over again to be right about everything. That's what submission is. So when you say, your will be done, when you say that phrase in this prayer, you're basically saying this: I am going to live today in a way that yields my rights to things, my resources to things that I think is right, and I think how much I should give or not give, and even my rationale, even when it doesn't make sense. Why? Because you have proven over and over and over again to be right about everything. Did you know that Dallas Willard, a famous philosopher, professor from USC, who's a Christian, who writes about the kingdom of God all the time? He's passed, God rest his soul. But he would always say, a disciple is one who chooses to believe that Jesus has been right about everything. That's what a disciple is. It's not, are you right about these things? A disciple is, I believe everything you taught about every situation in life, you are ultimately right and I am wrong. And so when you say your will be done, you're saying, what have you been right about? And I'm gonna do it your way. You're about to leave your job and you want to slander that boss. You want to make it look like this place is horrible, and you want to just slam that guy. You want to do everything in your power to destroy the image of that boss that you have. You say, what is your way? What will your will be? And what would you do if you had a say? And the Lord may say, knowing him, be quiet. Don't do this out of anger. Do not let your anger lead you to sin, son. But my rationale, my right, everything has been what? Crossed, and he deserves this. But you say, but you have been right about everything. So even though I don't like it, and this is something we Americans need to hear, even though you don't like it, you submit because you know he's right. I don't feel like forgiving. I don't know. I don't care. Is he right? Is he right that forgiveness is better than bitterness? Is he right? So you do it. That is your will be done kind of life. Is he right? Is he right that generosity is better than stingy living? Is he right? I'm gonna choose to be generous in every season of my life because I know you're right. That is your will be done kind of life and prayer. Yeah? So, PB, how do I actually do this? Well, I'm going to make it really simple for you, okay? You do two things. Say and word. Let's do that. Okay, here's the plan. If you're taking notes, I just want you to write say and then a word, okay? Say and word. PB, I want to be a your will be done kind of man or woman. Then you do this. The first thing you do is give God a say. Give God a say. Dallas Willard says it like this, and I just told it to you. The kingdom of God is wherever and in whomever God has a say. So right now, I want you to think about something that God can have a say in. Isn't this scary? And isn't this so liberating? Yeah. A disciple is one who listens and obeys. Should I put my kid in this program? Whoa, what would you say, God? And you and your spouse literally sit down and begin to pray and ask God, what would you do? What would you say to this? And then you begin to write things out in faith, and then you share it with each other. I think if God had a say in this situation, this is what he would say. What do you think, honey? Oh, I heard the same thing. Do you know most of Michelle and my decisions are made this way? Most of Michelle's my decisions are made. We'll sit down and we'll go, this is what we would like to happen. This is what we want out of this. And this is what we think we deserve. And then after we calm down, we go, but what will we do if God had a say? And a lot of times, we know what he has to say and what he would want us to do. So we end up holding each other, right, honey? And we'll cry in our bedroom. Okay, we'll do it your way because you're right about everything. And then a year or two later, we see the fruit of that obedience. We usually don't see it right away. Usually there's a test. Dang it, I shouldn't have done it your way. It's usually like that first. I just want you to know that. Because don't come to me and be like, PB, I did it his way and it's horrible. It's usually horrible in the beginning. And then in the long run, you're like, there's so much fruit. So give God a say. Isn't that easy? Yeah? PB, I want to be a your will be done kind of man or woman. Okay, give God a say. Okay? Number two, give God the last word. Give God the final word. Now, before I get into this, I just want to say, we are in a culture that doesn't want God to have a say. And then when he does say something, we live in a culture that wants to have a final say to that. Right? Like, we use words like but and and what is it? The yeah, but. I hate those words. It's in me. You know, before I do the final one, I recently was at my gym, my jiu-jitsu gym. My coach was there, and he sees me, and he's like, it's been a long time since I've seen you. And he calls me Big Kim, because I am the biggest Kim there, okay? So he goes, Big Kim, it's so good to see you, Big Kim. And then at first I was encouraged. Oh, he noticed me here, yeah, you know? And I'm like about to leave the jiu-jitsu gym. And then he goes, wait up, Big Kim. And I was like, oh, all right. So I come back, and my coach, who is a Christian, who is an elder in a church, right, walks right up to me. Now, you got to understand, he's like this tall, but he can throw me around like I'm a rag doll. This guy's scary. So he walks right up to me, and he goes, Big Cam, do you know what the problem with pastors are? Yeah. What's the problem with pastors, coach? You know what he said? You want to hear what he said? He said this to me. Big Kim, the problem with pastors are nobody tells them what to do. And then this is such a bad moment. He goes, come in here, and for an hour, I will tell you what to do. I have been faithfully going since. Do you know why? Because he's right. It's not just pastors. It's adults, parents, teachers, anybody who has any sense of autonomy. We don't like it when people tell us what to do. But the very foundation of Christianity is we have decided to hand over the decision making to someone else, and his name is Jesus Christ. So I got convicted by my jiu-jitsu coach, and I've been going faithfully. And then he texts me one day, Big Kim, I notice you're here every night. Why are you here every night? And I said, Coach, it's because of you. What you said convicted me. You're right. I'm a follower of Jesus that don't like it when people tell me what to do. So here's why submission is so powerful, because submission is not just some command. Submission is a gift you give to God. You see, it's your choice. You choose to submit. So I place myself in places where I know now I have to listen. Do you know that? They have to have a say. This week, I want you to do something before we get to the final plan. I want you to let people around you have a say. And then just do it. Some of you are like, honey, this message is for you. No, it's for you. See, you. No, it's for you. See, you. He means you. He means man. Not woman, man. Right? No, I mean you. If you're hearing me, try this for a week. Unless it's illegal or dangerous, whatever they ask you, just say yes. Not unto them, but unto the Lord. As a practice, right? Do you know when we first got married, Michelle, for some reason, will find the most random things in the house for me to do or fix. I don't know why. It's almost like overnight she became an architect and just, I know everything about this house. I would walk in from a long day and she would say, you need to do this, can you do this and this and that? And I'm telling you, I became such an expert in giving rational reasons why I can't do it that night. Anybody else relate? Oh, it's because I'm tired. Oh, did you know my back kind of hurts? Did you know that I didn't eat enough and I feel weak? And if I climb this ladder, I might fall and die. Honey, chill out. And then after a while, you don't even make reasons. You just go, get off me, just stop. Let me just rest. As you get more mature in Christ, you actually learn to say yes. By the way, couples, this week, don't be that person. You're like, I better make them do something first before they ask me. Don't do that. But if you do hear someone you love, someone you trust, even at work, can you imagine? I know it's horrible, right? Your job is so horrible. I know, right? You work for the devil. I know. But if it's not illegal, okay? And they just say something like, hey, do you mind making two copies for that? Just be like, right? Your supervisor would not know what to do. They'll pee their pants. They'll be like, just be like, yep, got it. Hey, do you mind talking to so-and-so about so-and-so and this and that, and I have to figure it out, because I know it's going to make you stay late, but can you just wait? Yep, got it. Not because they're the boss, but because you are practicing the art of what? Yielding to God. Because when God does say something to you and ask you to do something, it's not going to be easy. All right, word. Give God the last word. What are you saying? Dallas Willard says it like this. I'm practicing the discipline of not having to have the last word. Oh my. When you pray, let your will be done. Lord, your will be done. You are committing to a life that doesn't add another sentence to what he has told you. PB, give me an example. Well, there's a primary one in the Garden of Gethsemane right before Jesus goes to the cross. You guys know this, right? Jesus shares his heart. He says, Father, if you can take this cup away from me, right? Take it away. Jesus is confessing to the Father, I absolutely do not like your way. That's what he's saying. So when people say like Jesus was happy to die on the cross, I go, have you ever read what he prayed to the Father in the garden? He says, if you can take this cup, the cup means the cup of suffering. If you can take it away from me, take it away from me. And then what does he say? But not my will, but yours be done. You know what's crazy? Right after that prayer, Judas comes. Betrayal happens, the lashings happen, the confrontations happen, the accusations happen, and then the carrying of the cross happens all the way up to the cross. Did you know the scripture says he doesn't say a word? It's as if Jesus was saying, here is my heart. I'm scared. I'm bothered. I don't want to do this. But then he says what? But you have the last word. And since you think this is a good idea, may your will be done. And then he gets quiet. You see, if I was Jesus, after that moment, I would have been like, okay, is this what you want? I'm going to do it, but I'm going to let everyone know what I think about every situation. That's how we are, aren't we? Right? Pontius Pilate be accusing me of things, talking to me. I'd be like, hey, can I give you my 2 cents? This is what I think of you. You're a horrible governor. You're a horrible leader. And I think when all this is over, I'm going to judge you and kill you. But take me to the cross. Right? And then they're lashing me. I just want you to know. You think this hurts? Wait until hell, baby. Right? I just want you to know. These things, these lashes, I made them. They're from my create. Ow! Right? Hanging on the cross. Hey, I just want you to know. I can come down if I wanted to. Actually, do you see those angels right there? They can kill you. I'm going to kill you. Someday I'm going to kill you. I'm going to roast you, baby. Right? That's what I would do. Jesus doesn't say a word. Why? Because he's a man who submitted to God. He actually lived your will be done kind of life. This is why he has the authority to teach this prayer to us, by the way. Because he actually did it. Okay? Amen? So this week, that's what I want you to do. Don't have the last word. Try it. The next argument, the next fight, the next email, just end it. Just end it right there. You know, it's because you're lazy you didn't take out the trash. You want to defend yourself? You want to do something? You want to expose them? Just don't do anything. Go, okay, and just do it. Now, don't be that guy that does it and then reminds everyone that you're doing it. Okay? Don't be like, see how I'm not giving the last word? See how I'm submitted to you? Don't do that. Just don't do it. Just don't speak. Don't put in the last word. Okay? That's your way of trusting God. Amen? Amen. All right. So before we end, I want to show up here that yielding, or should I say your will be done kind of life, is a life of submission. But also when you pray your will be done, you're actually asking God, don't just help me submit and obey. You're asking God, transform me. make me somebody that actually wants to do that. Do you see the difference now? You see, when I tell my kids to clean, and one of the days they submit, they actually physically clean. They obey. Obedience is not transformation. Obedience is an act of submission. But eventually, what I want out of them as their father is that eventually their heart will change. And without me asking, they'll want to clean the house. That, in our Christian history, is called sanctification. And that is what God is after. Now, he'll take submission because it's better for you in the long run. But his desire is sanctification. He's interested in your heart transforming. And so instead of saying, I'm going to do this because you like it, you eventually become a person that says, I'm going to do this because I like it. And that's what your will be done is. It's a petition for God to change your heart. So, and I close here, when you are faced with, for instance, the challenge to forgive someone, you don't forgive now just because you have to as a Christian, because that's what he says to do. You eventually become the kind of person that would actually think about forgiving as the first option. That is your will be done kind of life. Can I get an amen? So I have a little illustration for you. Okay. One day, I made God a pie. I'm like, God, I want you to be happy, God. I'm so good at making pies. So God, oh, he's gonna love this. I made him a cherry pie. I'm so excited. I want God to eat my cherry pie. So I meet him. God, here's my cherry pie. I heard you love pies. Can you eat my pie? Of course. Oh, son, this is so sweet. Give it to me. This is so sweet, son. Oh, how'd you know? I love pies. This is so good. Angel stands next to him and goes, God, I thought you hate cherry pies. Shut up. I hate cherry pies. But what do you mean? It's my son. My child made me this. Right? What are you talking about? I'm gonna eat it. God, that's horrible. You hate that stuff. Shut up. I'm gonna eat it because he made it. Then I got older. Lord, you've been always eating my cherry pies, but there's always leftovers. I realize I never asked you what you like. What kind of pies do you like? Well, not now that you ask, son. I like apple pies. I like apple pies. I'm sorry, but I like apple pies. It's my favorite. Here I am with my cherry pie. You like apple pies? Oh, man. But cherry pies are so much better. It's more delicious. What? It's so weird that you would like apple pies. Fine. How am I going to make apple pies? I know. I'll go get some apples. I'll purchase them. So I go here and I go there. Whoever and wherever I can get apples, I get them. And then I make my God. Oh, you like apple pies? Fine. I think they're disgusting. But here. And then I make him apple pies. And I go, God, I think this is disgusting. But since you like apple pies, here. And then God's like, oh my God, oh myself. Right? Oh my, myself. And he's like, I'm so good. See, stupid angel, I told you he'll get it, right? And he's like, there's no leftovers. So every day, I'm going around going, I gotta find me some more apples. So I get them here, I get them here, and I get them here, and I go, even though I still think cherry pies are better, I'm making some apple pies, Lord, right? Then I grow even more, and I become a man or a woman of God. And then I go, you know, one time after shopping for apples, I decided to take a taste myself. And then I found that I love apples. I love apples. And then I realized, you're right. Apple pies are so much better. So I decided, instead of purchasing them, I'm going to plant apples myself. Lord, I don't want to purchase them anymore. I don't want to go around get them anymore from somewhere else. I want to cultivate my own apples, because I want to give it to you from my own garden. And then you tend to it, you work on it, all the while still trying to get apples to make it for the Lord. But you're working on your own. And eventually, it grows. And you go, do you want more pies? He's like, yeah, I do. What do you got for me today? You're not going to believe this, God. But over the years, I started cultivating my own apples. Now these are mine. I can't wait for you to taste them. It took me years to get to this point, but I'm so glad that you're gonna eat my apple pie with my apples. Because I know that's what you want. And over the years, while making them, I started eating them. And I realized, this is the best pie, and you are always right. Let's pray. Your will be done. Your will be done. Help me to be a submissive person to you, but also sanctify me. Make me the person that would like what you like, not just obey what you say. So right now, just as a just as a nice discipleship practice, will you ask God? Will you give something that he can have a say in? Go ahead. I'm sure there's something in your life you can say, you know this situation? Have a say in this. What would you like to say? Go ahead. What would you command or direct? What would you suggest or advise? Yeah. And then for some of you, what was the last word God gave? What was the last command? What was the last, you know, that was a God directive? What would it look like if he had the final say? What would it look like if you obeyed right away? Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you that I get to run with people that ultimately want to do your will. It's so inspiring, Lord. I feel so blessed, so lucky to run with a church that sees you not just as Savior, but as Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this body. This week, I pray that as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we will practice giving you a say and giving you the last word. Give us the will and the desire to do so. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.